Good morning, everybody. You know, it's so humbling to be here, and I'm so encouraged by everything that we have experienced this morning. The messages that we've heard so far have been truly touching. As Steve mentioned, my name is Elias. I'm from Zambia. I'm a father of three. My first son is 22 years old. Second son, he's with us today. He's 13. He turned 13 11 days ago, as he was reminding me this morning. And then we have our last born, Tinashe. He's adopted, and we're actually going through the fostering process at the moment. And he's 7 years old. And I bring you really warm greetings from the church in Zambia. We've got connections with the church here. As you know, Steve and Carol were in Zambia for, I think it was close to 5 years, wasn't it? Yes. Yeah, it feels like it was just yesterday, honestly, when they first arrived and they stayed in our home. And I'm always just reminded about the grace of God when I see the warmth and hospitality that I receive whenever we travel around. And I just want to say a big thank you to Glenn and Sheila for opening their home to us and giving us a place for the night. Thank you so much. And Mike and Chloe? Mike and Chloe. And Mike and Chloe are going to be staying in our home when they come out to visit in Zambia this month. So we're really looking forward to seeing them. So yeah, look, it's one big family. And I'm just so glad to be a part of this family. So let's just go to God in prayer very quickly. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, you know the end from the very beginning. You know each of our hearts. And only you can speak in a way that will open our hearts and our minds to hearing your word, Father, and seeking to apply it consistently in our lives. I pray, Lord, that it will be you that speaks to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the title of the message, as you can see up there, I know it's a bit of a long title, and it's kind of going to be a series of questions that I'm going to be asking and hoping that we can think through some of the answers. And there's a real focus that I want us to try and get our minds around. But the question is my life about God, or am I taking God along for the ride? Now, they sound similar, but they're not. They're actually quite different. We can ask another question. Do we work God into our lives, or do we work our lives around God? Is God part of the picture, or is he the picture? Now, you know, when I'd made the decision that it was going to be, well, my wife and I made the decision that it was going to be me that was going to bring our son over for Swamp this year. Communicated to Steve and Carol that, you know, okay, we'll be coming over. And eventually when I got hold of Steve and was able to get this message across to him, he sent back a message saying, okay, great, we look forward to seeing you. And then that was quickly followed up by another message, which was, would you like to preach on Sunday? So you can imagine, you know, that feeling of butterflies in your stomach? Yeah, that's what I felt. And I thought to myself, no, surely not. What am I going to say? And how will it all come out? And one thing after another. So I did what I normally do in these situations. I just kept quiet. So I just figured that, you know, this will all just blow over. If I just keep my head below the parapet, then, you know, I'll just turn up. It's like, hey, Steve, Carol, how you guys been? You know, it's like, so Steve was going to be the one standing up here. But, you know, somebody sent me a message, and it talked about this very thing. You know, is God the picture, or is he just part of the picture? And I thought to myself, wow, this was just for me. You know, I was hoping to just kind of get in, just get by. You know, the image of a car. You know, we've all, you know, we either own a car or we're in a car all the time and at some point in time in our day. And it's like, you know, I just wanted to just get in the car and just leave God behind and just carry on, get into Atlanta and, okay, attend the service, kind of let God back into the car and attend the service and then let God back out of the car and then carry on with my life. And I realized that, you know, I'm here to do everything for God. That's why I'm on this earth. So I said, you know, let's go with it. Let's preach. So it reminds me of a story of two old men. You know, when you get older, as many of you young people will realize in due course, you know, those of us with gray hair, you know, we're getting to that point now. But, you know, with the older folk, they kind of always got some really smart way of kind of outdoing each other. So there's a story of two old men, and one of them is, you know, complaining about his memory. And he says that, you know, my memory is so bad that when I go into the house to fetch something, I forget what it is that I went in for in the first place. So I've got to go back outside again in order to remember what it was. And then he says, this can go on all day. So his friend, not to be outdone, says, actually, I think my situation is worse than yours. He says, well, how so? He says, well, when I was asked to speak, to preach a message on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday came along, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is terrible. I didn't turn up. So I called the pastor of the church, and I said to him, look, I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened, but this just slipped my mind. And the pastor responded saying, but you were here, and you actually preached a good message. So, look, I'm here. So if we go back to this image of the car, you know, sometimes if we don't make our journey about God and we make it kind of about let's just take God along for the ride, sometimes we'll actually forget that God is there. But if we make the journey about God, we can, in a way, never really forget that God is there. And it all starts with intent. What is my intent today? So the first scripture I'd like us to look at is Luke chapter 10, and we'll be reading from verse 25 to verse 28. Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. I want you to just keep that thought in your mind. What is my intent? So, the Bible reads, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Now, very often, you know, when we think about our lives and how we should behave as disciples or followers of Jesus, we're kind of thinking that, okay, I've got my life, and then I've kind of got to take Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit along. Very often we don't really think about it as, actually, I'm here just for God's glory. That's why I'm here. I'm not really here for a job. I'm not really here for my family. That's a part of being here for God. Your primary purpose and role is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's the priority. It's like sharing our faith. If we were just here to share our faith, well, we could do that in some way without even really thinking about God. We could just be going through the motions. We could be mechanical about how we raise our kids. We could be mechanical about how we love our wives and our husbands. We could be very mechanical about how we love one another. But if we're doing it because we want to glorify God, well, that just makes everything very different. And we've actually got to put these four things into it. You know, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. What does that mean? Every single thing we hold dear. Everything we hold dear, we hold in our hearts. What does it mean when it says, love the Lord your God with all your soul? Everything that speaks to the core of who we are. What about with your strength? It means every ounce of energy has to be applied towards loving God. So in everything we do, we apply all our strength, knowing that we're doing this for God's glory. And with our mind, every single thing that we think about. It actually starts with the mind. And you know what? Satan knows that. He knows that so well. And he makes your intent focused on something other than God. That's what Satan tries to do. So we've got to outwit him. So to renew our minds, we need to be asking ourselves questions that can help us draw closer to God. And I want to suggest three questions that we can be asking ourselves as we think through this process. And the first question is, am I intentional about God being at the center of everything that I do? Am I intentional? Not incidental. Is it intentional? When I wake up in the morning, am I sitting there thinking, yes, I've got to get to work, but is my day going to be centered on demonstrating God's love in my life with everybody that I'm going to interact with today? Am I going to make everything I say, everything I do about God? So I want to share with you a little story. Now, you all know what avocados are, right? Like, I love avocados. I've loved avocados since I was, I think, 2 years old. I think as long as my memory serves me. And you know, I know all there is. Not everything there is to know, but I know a lot about avocados. And when I was young, I think I just left high school. And I was waiting to get into college. And we owned a farm. And so it's a little bit like what you would call your farmer's market. Okay, so you'd had different people laying out their different stalls, and they were selling, the different produce. But you also had traders that were there. We call them marketeers. So they would set up their little stands, and they would be selling tomatoes and onions and, all kind of farm produce. And this was the mid-80s. And I remember we had laid out all these avocados. That was kind of the main thing that we had that day. But that particular year, our avocado crop was not really that good. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm kind of doing this, but, my heart wasn't really in it. And out of the blue, an Englishman walks into this market in Zambia. And he's looking around, and I kind of catch him in the corner of my eye because, this was a bit unusual. It's like, you just didn't really get that many white folk coming in. And so he walks right up to our stand, and he's heading for the avocados. And then he says, oh, great, I've been looking everywhere for avocados. Now, at that time in Europe, you couldn't find avocados in the supermarkets. The export system hadn't really worked itself the way which it does today. So I'm thinking, great, opportunity to sell these avocados. Then I suddenly remembered, actually, they're not that great. So I was struggling. But there was a stand just around the corner, out of eyeshot, where there was somebody selling avocados, which were really good. I mean, I knew because I'd tasted them. And so when this gentleman asked me, I kind of hesitated for a few moments, and then I said to myself, there's actually somebody who's got much better avocados. Now, what was going through my mind at the time was, this guy's going to go back to the UK, and then he's going to walk away with a bad reputation about Zambia because someone sold him some bad avocados. So that was my motivation. So I kind of tried to explain to him that, there's actually a better crop around the corner. Now, he looked at me with that look like, are you for real? It's like, you're taking me to your competitor? This just made no sense to him. Anyway, he walked around with me reluctantly, bought, I think it was 2 avocados, and then he left. I went back to my stand, and within about 5 minutes, he came back. And he said, I've never seen anything like this. I want to buy all of your avocados. So I tried to explain to him. I said, they're not that great. He says, look, what do we know about avocados anyway? I mean, we don't get them, so just pack, pile them all in. He took pictures, and he bought all the avocados, every single one of them. Now, I was, I'm 17 years old at the time. And even then, there was a lesson for me. I remember thinking about this, and it's never left me. It's that, when your intent is clear and is pure, people see that. It's very clear. And it doesn't kind of work out what's in it for me. it just makes it very clear about what needs to be done. So in the same way, we have to have a really clear intent about serving God. And we have to be asking ourselves the questions. What is my intent today? Am I intentional about God being at the center of everything that I do? So even as I reflected on, should I or shouldn't I preach? That was it. What was my intent? Now, if my intent was just to come out to Atlanta and have a great time, make sure my son gets to camp and slip away quietly without getting noticed too much, then I wouldn't be here. I'd be just another person in the crowd. And we need to be thinking about that. I remember even the first time I attended a church that I used to attend while I was at university. One of the things that one of the people that invited me always said to me was, find something that you can do to serve. Because that gets you connected in a way that is much more meaningful than just turning up on a Sunday. So I encourage you, doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. I mean, it's great watching Glenn sing up here. Glenn's a grandfather. What a beautiful voice. And how he can glorify God and inspire us. Doesn't matter how young you are. Find some way to serve within the church. Let that be your intent. Jesus was always clear about his goal. You know, when he was confronted by Satan after he had been led out into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days, he ate nothing. He comes out, and Satan starts by asking him a question with a two-letter word, if. If. He says, if you are the Son of God. Now, what does that do? You know, when someone questions, can you really do that? Is that, you know, if you're really the Son of God, it's speaking to your pride, isn't it? It's speaking to that thing that says, what, you think I can't do this? But in each particular case, what does Jesus do? Jesus answers in every case with Scripture. Each instance, he says, it is written. It is written. Why? Because his intention and his focus is very clear. He didn't come here to serve himself. He came here on a very clear mission. And that mission was to reconcile man with God. And he knew the sacrifice he was going to have to pay to do that. So the second question, do I use every occasion to increase my faith? Do I use every single occasion to increase my faith? We got in on, it was Friday morning. We arrived in Florida. We arrived at Orlando Airport. I was with my son, and look, it's a long flight. You know, we first of all traveled from Lusaka to Dubai, and then we had a 20-plus hour layover in Dubai, and then from there we had a 15-hour flight into Orlando. We got into Orlando. You know, we got a bit of sleep, but really not as much, and it wasn't really that comfortable. But, you know, praise God, we were in, and we were thankful. We prayed and ready for the day. So we come out, and you do the usual thing. They check for your visa. And then you got to stand in line. Now, as we stood in line, the section where we had been guided to had nobody to kind of attend to us. So there was no immigration official in the two booths that were directly in front of the line that we had been put in. But there were immigration officials in the other ones. And so 1 hour, 10 minutes later, and, you know, I was now beginning to think, okay, do we sit down? You know, what do we do? You know, all sorts of thoughts went into my mind. You know, should I try and reach out to this lady that was kind of moving up and down and almost picking everybody but us? And, you know, my son was getting a little irritable. And, you know, I was thinking, okay, so what do I tell him? So I thought, okay, we need to pray. We need to pray and actually thank God for the situation that we're in right now. Because everything in my thoughts had been, well, what, have they gone out to lunch? I even suggested it to him. I said, maybe they've gone out to lunch. He says, Dad, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, okay, so it's not lunch. So what is it? They just not like us? So all these thoughts went through my mind. I wasn't focused. I wasn't focused on using every situation to increase my faith until that realization came into my mind. And that's when I prayed. And I was telling my son, it was less than 10 minutes. And they came over and started to kind of push us behind the different queues so that we could be attended to quite quickly. And I think literally within 15 minutes, we were out of there from the time that, you know, we prayed. Now, it's natural to kind of feel angry, to feel upset. And sometimes we go through a lot worse things than just being made to stand in a queue after a 15-hour flight for over an hour. But just think about what Jesus went through. He came to earth to die for our sins, and then he's insulted by the very people that he came to save. You know, we talk about the anguish that Jesus went through, and I think a lot of us tend to think about it as, okay, it was going to be a very painful experience to be on the cross. But I actually think the real pain, the thing that really made Jesus feel such anguish, wasn't the pain of the cross, the physical pain. It was the fact that he knew that because of our sin, for the first time, he was going to be separated from his Father. That was too painful for Jesus to contemplate. Now, if Jesus could feel so much anguish about being separated from God, what lesson does that give us? We have to do everything we can never to be separated from God, even for a moment. So we should use every single occasion, especially the difficult situations, to increase our faith. The third question I think we can ask ourselves is, do I serve others? The ones I love and those I actually have reason not to love because of the way in which they have treated me. You know, I'm learning that the best time to do something that you know you should do is when you don't feel like doing it. It's the best time. You can't wait and tell yourself, okay, no, I've got to wait until I feel that it's right. That's not obedience. Obedience happens just because God's word says that it should happen. And you do it, knowing that it's the right thing to do. You know, in my character, and my nature, I'm kind of prone to maybe thinking more rather than engaging more. You know, I hate to admit it, but I don't really draw a lot of energy from engaging with people. It's something that I've had to just accept. That's just part of my character. It takes a lot out of me. I kind of feel that I'm, you know, I don't really say the right things. And then I'll kind of have a conversation. I'll think, oh, why did I say that? And I'm kind of feeling like really awkward and thinking, oh my goodness, well, they must think I'm a total fool right now. These thoughts are constantly going through my mind. And so, typically, what gives me energy? I've had a long day. I want to get home, run the bath, and get in there and soak. 1 hour, an hour and a half. That's how I run my thoughts through my mind. You know, guests turn up, and then there's a knock on the door. Oh, Uncle so-and-so is here. And I'm like, why did he have to come now? You know, but it's, you know, I used to beat myself up and think that, you know, I'm a terrible, but it's just my character and nature. That's just it. And then what happens is I don't give time. So I'm home, haven't seen the kids all day, but I'm kind of into my little cocoon, doing my own thing. And so I've had to learn that although I don't feel like sitting and engaging, that's what I should do. And when I do, it's amazing what happens. It's absolutely amazing. And so now I find that there's a joy in engaging. I'm finding that there's a new strength I can find in encouraging others, even when I'm not feeling encouraged. In fact, that helps me to feel encouraged when I encourage others, when I feel I myself need encouragement. And I look at this and I think, hey, the Bible works. This stuff makes sense. So, we need to be serving. Now, what does that mean? If you're living with your parents or you're being kept by somebody, it's doing the dishes. It's taking out the trash. It's helping out. It's saying, look, you know, you need your car cleaned. You need your driveway cleaned. You know, what is it that you need? You need a chore running. It's serving others because you know that that is how you are serving God. Remember when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's two sides of the same coin. It's two sides of the same coin. Now, one thing you'll notice is, in talking about how we draw close to God, I haven't really said, fight sin, deal with sin. You see, the way I look at it, sin is very much a symptom. In many ways, it's not really the cause. It's a consequence of a lack of intent and focus on God. And so what Satan has us doing is kind of fighting with the sin, but meantime you're wondering, why do I keep repeating this cycle of sin over and over and over again, to the point where I'm even afraid to kind of confess, oh, it's happened again. And that was me for a very long time. And I was thankful that when Steve was leading the church in Zambia, whatever my struggle would be, there was never any judgment. It was just, okay, you know, sometimes these things happen for this reason or that reason. So I never, ever, ever at any point in time felt as though I couldn't come back and confess my sin, no matter how many times it happened. And that's what we've got to be for one another. Safe. It's a little bit like the lesson that was preached this morning. I mean, it's how do you build empathy, even if you're not going through the same thing? You don't even have to agree with something, but you need to be there to listen and try and understand why this person feels the way that they do. What is your intent in terms of being that support for one another? But in dealing with sin, yes, sin is what separates us from God, but it's the fruit, not the root of disobedience. Disobedience is actually the problem. But where does that start from? It starts from the image that you're creating first and foremost in your mind about what you are going to make the priority. What are you going to set out as the most important thing for you on that particular day? And in Romans 12, verse 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have to remember, church, that everything begins with our intent. And if our intent is I'm going to make my life, my day, my every second, God the focus, then we'll find that all the challenges that we tend to experience, especially when it comes to dealing with sin in our lives, are much easier to deal with, much easier to handle. So let's make our intent to do nothing but please God in everything that we do. And to God be the glory.